Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but is the same God who empowers them all in every one. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. The word of the Lord. Well, last week we began a short 2-week look at the Christian season of Epiphany. A season of renewal and light that follows Christmas and always coincides with our new calendar year. Last week we saw the baptism of Jesus, which is one of the clear pictures of Epiphany and renewal in the Gospels. If you remember, we saw the Trinity on full display. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God the Son, Jesus of Nazareth, being baptized, and the Holy Spirit descending upon him like a dove, and the voice, the audible voice of God the Father being heard, saying, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." An inbreaking of God's world into our world. A manifestation of the glory of God. It is Epiphany. And the key point last week was that because the approval of God was given to Jesus, that same approval and love now flows to us through the Holy Spirit. Faith in Jesus Christ means that we now have His Spirit in us. This week, I want us to consider then what that means. What does it mean to have the Spirit indwell us? And in a new year where we're thinking about, you know, new year, new me, resolutions, we're making decisions, I want us to think about the spiritual gifts that now flow to us because of Jesus. If His approval and love flow to us through His Spirit, so also do spiritual gifts. And I want us to do the hard work this morning and in the days to come, the hard work of really reflecting on the spiritual gifts that God has given to you and to me. And some of you I know may be here and think, you know, I've heard this for a long time. I've heard this many times, perhaps, that, you know, I have spiritual gifts and I've been thinking about it for a while. And you know what? I got nothing. You know, I can't see it. I don't see it. I don't think I have any gifts. Some of you may be thinking, you know, people tell me that I have this gift. But, you know, I've been using it for a long time. And quite frankly, I'm a little tired of it. You know, isn't there something else that I can do? Is this the only gift that God has given me? The only talent that I have? And in a season of renewal, I want us to take a step back and really take stock of the spiritual gifts that God has given us, the gifts that He's given His people. So this morning I want us to look at 3 points. First, from this passage in 1 Corinthians 12, a previous life. Second, the gifts of a new life. And then third, unity in diversity. A previous life, the gifts of a new life, and unity in diversity. Paul's first letter to the Corinthian church was meant to answer a number of questions that were raised by the Christians there. Corinth was a big place. It was a decadent place. You can imagine that trying to establish the early church there was a challenge. Seeing pagan Gentiles come to faith in Jesus and then try to set out to live the Christian life, that was always going to be very messy. And in fact, wherever people set out to live the Christian life, it's going to be messy. And one of the questions raised to Paul was about spiritual gifts and how they were being used in Corinth. And he particularly addresses the issue of some lording their spiritual gift over others. In other words, they've created within their community a kind of hierarchy of spiritual gifts. This is what Paul speaks to directly right in verse 1. He says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant." Now that's a pretty clear statement that, hey, it's clear you don't quite understand. And what I'm about to say to you is important, and I want you to hear this and get it right. Verse 2, "You know that when you were pagans, you are led astray to mute idols." Now, the Corinthian Christians were made up primarily, mainly of Gentiles, people of all backgrounds and nationalities. They did not come from a Jewish background or culturally or from a faith perspective. And so Paul brings up their religious past. Hey, remember where you came from. You used to run after all of these different gods and idols, but they were voiceless. They literally had no power over you, yet you followed them. Before you had the Holy Spirit, those gods and those idols, they held sway over you, even though they had zero power. They never acted on anything. They were totally unable to answer your call. They were unable to be known by those who worship them. Now, this is, of course, not just a Gentile problem. It was a problem throughout the history of Israel, throughout the Old Testament, right? God's people were constantly being drawn to the pagan idols of others, even though the one true God, Yahweh, was active and living among them, speaking to them. Listen to these incredible words from Psalm 115. The psalmist writes, "Why should the nations say, 'Where is their God?' Our God is in the heavens. He does all that He pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths but do not speak, eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear, noses but do not smell. They have hands but do not feel, feet but do not walk. And they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them. So do all who trust in them." It's a recurring theme throughout the Bible, this pull between the true God of heaven and earth and the idols and gods of our own making. The difference, the Bible says, is that the idols that we make, they cannot speak. They have no voice, no true power. Paul tells the Corinthians, this is your past. This is what you were clinging to. This is what led you astray. But now you have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God who has come into your life to draw you to faith to speak to you so that you can say, Jesus is Lord. And the same is true for you and me. We fight this pull between the world and the Spirit. We're drawn to the things of the world that we make with our own hands, that we entertain with our minds, that we allow our hearts to get carried away with. Yet the Spirit that indwells us allows us to see the truth that Jesus is Lord. Verse 3. No one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. And so the words that were spoken over Jesus by God the Father that we saw last week, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Those words, that approval flows to us through the Holy Spirit that we might see and point and say, Jesus, He is Lord. These other idols and gods that we have made with our own hands, the possessions and habits of my previous life, they hold no power over me. They're not the Lord of my life. They can't even speak or touch or do anything. The Spirit in me allows me to see that Jesus is the true Lord of my life. And through Him, the Spirit gives gifts of this new life. The Spirit gives gifts of the new life. And the point that I want to make here is a very simple one, very straightforward. Every Christian, if you are here and you have placed your faith in Christ, the Spirit has given you gifts. You have spiritual gifts. I want to say that again. Every person here who's put their faith in Christ has been given spiritual gifts. The Spirit does not come into someone's life to bring them to a place to point and say, Jesus is Lord, without also bringing gifts. So it's impossible for a Christian to say, I don't think I have any spiritual gifts. No matter how much we may struggle with self-esteem or self-worth, which I know that's part of many of our stories, every child of God has been given gifts by the Spirit. Why? And for what purpose? Verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. There's that idea of epiphany again. To each has been given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. It is for the good of us all, for the body of Christ, that we all have been given spiritual gifts, whatever that gift may be. It's as Simon Kistemaker said, and I love this quote, the Holy Spirit stands behind the gift. The call that Paul gives the Corinthians and is giving us is then to bring those gifts to the common heap. And where is the common heap? Right here, the local church. So this is where I want to take the opportunity in the beginning of a new year to have a real strong talk with us all. Kind of come to Jesus talk, as I like to say. If this is the community of faith that God has called you to, if this is the place that you find yourself week after week, then this is the place you are called to bring your spiritual gifts to this common heap. But that may mean a few things. For some of us, it may mean that you need to come to a place where you feel that you truly belong here. And that's different for different people. For some of you, it may mean taking the next step to meet people and learning people's names. Not leaving so early after the service concludes. Just want to make sure nobody throwing anything at me. letting other people get to know you. For others, it may mean in this year to take the next step to become a member of the church. Why is that important? Well, for one, it's something that the Christian church has practiced across almost every tradition for nearly 2,000 years, that we would formally attach ourselves to one another and make covenant together, commit ourselves and our spiritual gifts for the common good in a committed way. We commit to one another. And so for some of you, that next step to heed Paul's call to use your gifts will be coming into the body here, making membership, taking that next step for the common good. For others of us, the new year, as it always does, brings opportunity for new decisions, new paths, new directions. Perhaps we've already made some of those decisions. The question remains, how many of our decisions have been guided by the use of our spiritual gifts? How many of the decisions that we have in mind take that into account for the common good? Tolkien, great writer, of course, of The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, wrote a much lesser known short story called Smith of Wootton Major. Some of you may be familiar, some of you deep Tolkien fans. But in it, he has this profound insight of spiritual gifts and God-given talents. As a young boy, the title character, Smith Smithson, such a great name, receives a rare gift at his small village's celebration. It's a piece of cake, and inside the cake is this magical silver star. And Smith takes the star and he places it on his forehead, and it shines with bright light and allows him to travel to far magical lands and possess special powers and privileges. But one day, as he travels home from one of his fantastic journeys, Alf, the master cook, the baker of the cake, starts walking beside Smith. Unbeknownst to Smith, Alf is actually the king of the land and the one who chose that Smith would receive the silver star. And as they near Smith's home, Alf, the king, says, "Do you not think, Master Smith, that it's time for you to give this thing, this magic silver star, up?" Smith replies, "What is that to you, Master Cook? And why should I do so? Isn't it mine? It came to me, and may a man not keep things that come to him so, at least as a remembrance?" And the king says, "Some things, those that are free gifts and given for remembrance, but others are not so given. They cannot belong to a man forever, nor be treasured as heirlooms. They are lent. You have not thought, perhaps, that someone else might need this thing. But it is so. Time is pressing." The gifts that God gives us are for us all, for the good of us all, to be shared. That raises two questions that I want us to think about. One, does everyone get just one gift? And two, is it for life? Will this be the one thing that I get, this area that I'll always have to use or have to bring for the common good? Well, let's answer those. First, no, you don't get just one spiritual gift. There is no limit to the gifts that the Spirit gives us. There may be a dominant gift or something that is more obvious to us or the people around us. But there's certainly nothing in the writings of Paul or the Bible that says that this is the one gift that you have been given for the rest of your life to use for the common good. Second, is it for life forever? Well, maybe. God has made us all differently, different personalities. Perhaps the way he's made and gifted you is to be able to use and develop and hone and craft a particular gift of the Spirit. But there are seasons of life. And there may be a new season of life that you are stepping into in which God is making you aware of a new gift, a new interest, a new talent, new ways for you to bless the community of faith for the common good. Which means that we need to always be reflecting then on what the Spirit is doing in us. Always be asking, coming to the Lord, deciphering how He is moving in and through us. How is what He has given you being used for the common good of us all? And as you begin to really faithfully reflect and explore that, as you pray through that, you are going to be able to see, and we're going to see it more and more as a community of faith, the rest of what Paul emphasizes in chapter 12. And you can read the rest of that later today if you'd like. That there is unity in the incredible diversity of God's gifts. There is unity in the incredible diversity of spiritual gifts. Verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And what are these gifts, these spiritual gifts? I'm not going to list them all, but Paul and other writers in the New Testament list them for us at different places. Gifts like serving, teaching, mercy, encouragement, leadership, faith, knowledge, and then the miraculous gifts that were given in the New Testament, healing, tongues, prophecy. All of these varieties, however, are meant to be used for the common good. Everyone has been given them. Paul in verse 8 lists some of them, not the exhaustive list, but he says, one is given wisdom, another knowledge, some have been given the gifts of healing, another prophecy, and to others various kinds of tongues, and to the others the interpretation of tongues. But he includes in verse 11 this, all of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as He wills. Now, I'm not going to get into a breakdown today of all of these gifts. That will be for another sermon, another discussion. However, I do want to emphasize that within the Corinthian church, there seemed to have developed a supremacy of certain gifts over others. In particular, the gifts of tongues, speaking in other languages in a spiritual way, and then their interpretation. These spiritual gifts became lifted up within that community of faith as the highest gift you could have. But as we know throughout the rest of Paul's writing, it's that particular gift, the speaking of tongues, that is often given over to ostentation. Can easily become showy and a distraction. The gift of tongues in the Corinthian church began to divide the church into subgroups based on the spiritual gift that you had. And Paul says very clearly here that that should not be the case ever. Why? Because all the gifts come from the same Spirit of God. And he goes on to illustrate by using the analogy of the human body. Verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. So again, we need to realize that all have been given gifts by the same Spirit of God. But what also needs to be realized is that it is every bit our human nature to create a hierarchy in almost every circle of life, including with the spiritual gifts that God has given to us. I was reading this week. Take this for an example. A symphony, an orchestra, a large group of people, many, many different instruments, no doubt these professionals have worked their entire lives to get where they are. the years, the hours of dedication and practice. In most cases, there's probably no real distinction between their levels of musicianship. There's just different instruments. Yet I was reading this week that typically within orchestras, oh, there's a hierarchy. The strings consider themselves superior to all others. They are the senior section, and within the strings, the violins consider themselves superior. And if you wonder that, just ask someone who has played the viola or the double bass. Jenny and I had three friends that used to play in the New World Symphony in Miami Beach. They actually played at our wedding. They all played the viola, and they would tell us about that distinction very often. Within the wind section, there is a hierarchy. The flutes and oboes consider themselves beyond the brass. And within the brass, the trumpets, which I played, this is true, see themselves as superior to the others. No one really wants to play the trombone. And certainly in their eyes, no one wants to play the tuba or worse, the timpani or triangle. Now, of course, there are different personalities and there are different styles. But there's one conductor. And when it comes to the spiritual gifts that God has given to us, the conductor is the Holy Spirit himself, who, as Kistemacher said, is the one who stands behind the gift. Therefore, among us, friends, there is no hierarchy. There are no subgroups of gifts in which one is better than the other. There is no gift that should be coveted above another. There's no gift that should be held out by the local church as more desirable. Or we run the risk of believing that certain gifts that the Spirit gives are not really gifts at all. And how could that be? To think about this a little further, just for a moment, go with me here. I want you to think about someone who is profoundly intellectually disabled. Someone who has very high support needs, who is completely dependent in every area of life, who perhaps has no language, who does not communicate in typical ways. Just consider for a moment. What are their spiritual gifts? Here's someone who will not participate in our temptation to build a hierarchy around the gifts that God has given to us for our communal life together. But let me offer you this. I once sat with a family who had a daughter who was 25 years old, who was profoundly disabled from birth. She requires constant care. I watched her mother and father provide that care for her. And it may be very easy for us to consider the spiritual gifts of the mother and father, right? I mean, we see them serving her and caring for her, the kindness and patience that they show her. But what of their daughter? What is her spiritual gift that she brings to the common good of the body of Christ? Is it possible that her willingness to receive their care is a spiritual gift? That the more and more she grows in her willingness to receive the spoon of food from them is a spiritual gift? That the more and more she grows in her willingness to let them bathe her and care for her, that may be a spiritual gift? Or think of someone, and maybe this has been part of your story, a friend or family member who's lived with advanced dementia, who perhaps at one point in their life demonstrated all kinds of spiritual gifts in the typical ways that we see, but now they no longer know who they are. They no longer can articulate who God is. What happened to their spiritual gifts? Are they not there anymore? Do they no longer bring anything for the common good of us all? Or is there something in their presence among us? Is there something that happens in their face when you turn on that $30 Bluetooth speaker and play the old hymns of the church that makes their face light up with joy? Is that a spiritual gift for the good of us all? Friends, we have to see that the same idols and trappings of our previous life outside of Christ that lead us after idols that do not speak and cannot touch, that have no power, can easily show up in the church because we have dragged them in ourselves. And so suddenly, it's not the spiritual gift or the giver of the gift that is important anymore, but it is the empty idols that we have dragged in from our old selves that tell us that certain spiritual gifts are actually more important than others, that hinder our imagination and ability to be able to see the diversity of the spiritual gifts of others. And so we think perhaps, you know, maybe speaking and teaching is like the best gift. You know, to stand up there for a long time and seem knowledgeable and talk about all these wonderful things. Maybe that's the gift that we all should strive for or want. Or maybe it's the gift of evangelism that leads some people, believe this or not, to leave everything and go to the corner of the world, the opposite end of the world, into dangerous places to proclaim the gospel. Wow, how do people do that? They're so brave. I could never do anything like that. My gifts are just so basic, boring. Friends, there is no supremacy of spiritual gifts within the community of faith. There is only gifts that come from the Holy Spirit that are meant to build us up together as one body, and each and every one of us have been given them. Last week we renewed our belief that we are in Christ and we are His beloved children who receive the gift of the Spirit through Him. This week I want us to renew the truth that His Spirit has given us gifts to use for the good of one another. And I want to really challenge you as we begin this new year to move. To move towards these gifts. New gifts, old gifts, that same old gift you've been using for 50 years. It doesn't matter. Because it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. And there are so many opportunities here within our church to use your gifts. And think about this. There are opportunities for our church that we don't even know about because there is some untapped spiritual gift in you that we haven't found yet. That is the key to unlocking a completely new area of life and ministry in this family of faith. And so as we close this morning, if you have questions about this for yourself, we really do want you to come and talk to us. If you are in this new season or space of deciphering what your spiritual gifts may be, do that in relationship with one another. Stick around. Learn people's names. Come to us and let's have a conversation of how God is leading you in this new season, this new year. We can walk through this together because, remember, no one is exempt. Everyone has been given spiritual gifts for the good of us all, for the good of the body of Christ. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you that it is so clear and evident that you have drawn us to be able to see Jesus as Lord through your Spirit. Lord, it's something we would never be able to do on our own, but through your Spirit, we can see that you are the true Lord of our lives. And forgive us, God, where we have let the idols, the past idols, the idols of this world that still creep into our lives, that make us think that some gifts, some life in the church is better than others, Lord, help us to be empowered by your Spirit to reflect, to ask of you, Lord, what are you doing in my life now? And how may those gifts be used for the common good of this church, for your kingdom in the world? Lord, may that be the hard work that we do today and in the days to come in this new year. And help us to help one another discover these things. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.